Michael. Brother, God used you this morning. Thank you. Oh my goodness. I was like over there and I'm like wanting to jump out of my skin, but I couldn't because I'm not allowed or, you know, and I even had somebody make fun of me and say, even the white guy from Wisconsin is dancing. And I was like, I know. Oh my gosh. That was fun, wasn't it? Man. Yeah. And what I love is that as I've got to meet Michael, and I know that he is saying that applause is not for him. That applause is for God. And amen, man. Well, good morning, Avalon Church. I mean, I'm telling you, I feel like, let's go. I think we got another hour and a half in us, right? There's so many people going, he's not serious, right? Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm excited. And you know, if you are new this morning, you really picked a great day to be here. Not only is the worship just incredible, but you also are going to get to be a part here, kind of the insider's view of what happens around this place, kind of what church family looks like. So if you're new here, sit back and relax and just kind of take it all in because we're going to get to see some things today that I think are going to really be valuable for us as a family. You know, my hope for this whole series called Stories is that we begin to see church not as a service, not as a building that we go to on Sundays, not as this entity that we go to do, but that we see ourselves as a family. That the church is a family of broken people finding restoration and life in Jesus, who walk together as Jesus' hands and feet, loving God together and bringing that love and that life that he gives us to the world around us. That's what family is. And, you know, when we do life together, when we do this thing, my prayer is that there's this sense of God drawing others to himself. My prayer, Avalon Church, is that every single week we come together in a service, every time we meet, that people are drawn to Jesus and they say yes to him. I pray that every week we're seeing people say no to life the way it was and yes to Jesus, to following him, to finding salvation in Jesus. That's my prayer. And I think that is an amazing picture of family. And I think that's a picture of family that we should be striving for and even experiencing. Now, for today's message, I really wanted to give you some perspective about where I'm going with this. And I wanted to share with you a story that is about the adoption of our oldest daughter, Renee. Because I have too many R's and too many, all my family members rhyme, and it's really frustrating. I mess it up all the time, but Raylynn and I, we adopted Renee, who is now 30. Now, most of you know our biological children, Allie and Riley. They are 16 and 10. But when our oldest daughter, Renee, was 16 years old, we adopted her from the Florida Baptist Children's Home in Lakeland. And I'll share that big story another time because it is a good one. And it's one of my favorite stories about our life. But today, I wanted to share a piece of that because it took a little over a year between the time we asked Renee if she wanted to be adopted and before it became official. And in that year, there was just this incredible transition together. You know, Renee at first, when she started visiting us, you know, the state allowed her about a day or two at a time just to get to know us. And Renee felt like a guest in our home. You know, she didn't feel like part of the family yet. You know, she when she came over, her first visits were a bit uncomfortable. You know, she would ask permission to go to her room. She would ask permission to go into the refrigerator and get food. When she left, we'd clean her bathroom. We'd clean, you know, wash her sheets after every single visit. She might have helped with the dishes once in a while, but the reality is they weren't her responsibility. And it took a while for her to feel like she belonged, you know, to feel like she was part of the family. But it was so cool in that year, as the time passed and as we got to know each other more and more, she stopped asking if she could go into the refrigerator. You know, she stopped keeping her room completely clean, and it was getting messier and messier. And she began, when we'd go to restaurants, she began to order more expensive things, and we'd have to, honey, you know, $30 for a piece of chicken's a little high, that kind of stuff. As we got to know each other and as it went on, she started feeling so much more part of the family. She started enjoying the benefits of being a part of a family. But with those benefits of being a part of a family came some expectations, some responsibilities. You know, she started getting chores. You know, she was expected to do her homework. She was expected to communicate with us if there was a change in schedule or she needed a ride somewhere. What she found and what we found is that our lives did not center around any one person anymore. It was no longer just Raylin and me. It was no longer Renee. It was us. She was a part of a family. And instead of just being the guest, she became a participant. And it was as a participant that Renee's life began to change. And it was when she started participating that our life began to change. You know, since becoming your pastor in January, we've talked a lot about family. We've talked a lot about church not being a service, not being a place that you go, a building. That we are the family of God. Not just us. We are a small, local expression of God's family that literally is hundreds of millions, if not billions, around the world. And that we exist to make and love God, make God known, to make him known together, to love God together, to go and grow together, as we've been saying. The problem with this, though, the problem with this calling, this what it means to be family and knowing God together and loving God together, is that it's so countercultural. You know, we live in a society that says my needs and my desires are the most important. So we work a lot of hours and we buy a lot of stuff. You know, we seek new experiences. We leave relationships so that we can find better ones. All in this pursuit to be happy. Right? I mean, we just want to be happy. And so we're not. So we go out and we buy more stuff and we get into more debt and we pursue more experiences and more relationships and we end up empty again and again. It keeps going on and on. See, it's so easy to buy the lie. And man, this is a lie that many of us in this room struggle with, that if we find the right job, If we meet the right person, if we experience just the right pleasure, if we buy the perfect house, or if we're finally able to get pregnant, then we'll be happy. But we never are. We never are. We try. We want to be. We seek it. But we're never happy. But unfortunately, what happens is when we follow that cultural lie, when we try to buy more, use more, get more, we're often just left with regret. We're not happy, but now we're worse than unhappy. We're unhappy and we have regret. You know, we live in such a blessed country, but unfortunately that blessing can lead us to have the ability to seek more and more and more. And so when we find that this thing didn't work, there's always 27 other things that we can try. And when that doesn't work, we can keep, so for the rest of our lives, for our whole existence, we can keep looking for more and more and more. And every time we do that, it creates this perpetual desire in us to seek even more. Yet it never satisfies. We could go around and just go person after person in this room and say, do you have a story where that's true, where you sought this thing with everything in you, but when you got it, you weren't happy? And I bet we could hear that story. However many of people are in this room, we could hear that many stories or more. See, we were created for more than that. That's not what this is supposed to be about. You were created to be a part of something that is so much bigger than just you and your desire for happiness. You were designed by God for a purpose. And I was designed by God for a purpose. And with all of my heart, with everything in me, I believe that purpose is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to join him in what he wants to do in the world, what he wants to do in the lives of other people, loving God and loving our neighbors. I think that's what that is the purpose for which we were designed, to know God and to make him known, to offer hope and meaning in people's lives. Because God uses willing people to bring life to the world. God uses willing people to bring healing to broken marriages. He uses willing people to help single moms who feel alone and abandoned, to comfort those who have lost everything, and to rescue those who are abused and trafficked. And last night, if you follow Avalon Voice, I was so blessed as I read stories of a lost teenager here in town, and how many people who didn't even know that person were driving around helping her, whom we found out was lost and didn't know how to get back home because they were new. I mean, it's that kind of thing. We were created for something that was so much bigger, so much more satisfying than anything most of us have ever experienced. And when you're a part of that kind of vision, when you're a part of what God is doing in the world, in people's lives, your perspective changes. Because, you know, the kind of car that you've wanted seems to lose its allure when you can be a part of people's lives changing. Getting new furniture ceases to be just the main passion of what's going on in your home. And it's not that new cars and new houses and good stuff are bad. I'm not saying that they're bad. I'm just saying that they're so temporary, you know? They're temporary, especially when I can choose to participate with God in things that change people's lives for generations and for eternity. We get to do that. Avalon Church, that is the business that we're in. We get to be a part of changing lives for generations and for eternity. Man, I tell you what, that gets me as excited as I was at the last song that we were singing. I mean, that just pumps me up. Because that's our purpose. That's our calling. God wants us to experience life in him and then to take that life, to bring it to others. But it's our choice. It's our choice. We can say yes. We can step out in faith and trust that when we step out and do the little things that we can do, that God will show up and do what only he can do. Because only God can transform people's lives. Only God can transform the heart. Only God can draw people to himself. But for whatever reason, and I don't know why, he says, I will do that through you and me. That's the way he works. He works through people. We can say yes to him and say, yes, God, we will give you the little bits that we have, knowing you're going to show up. Or we can say no thank you and continue with our lives just as they are right now. See, it's a choice that each of us has to make. But here's the beauty. You don't have to make it alone. You don't have to make the choice alone because you are surrounded. Look to your left, look to your right. You are surrounded by a family of people who are also saying yes. You do not have to do it alone. Saying yes is a declaration that I am no longer a guest. I choose to be part of the family. It's when Renee made that declaration in her heart that everything changed. It's when we made that declaration in our heart with her that everything changed, that this is no longer a guest friendship relationship, but we are part of the family. And it changed everything. Because families sacrifice for each other, right? Families contribute to each other. Families, they offer themselves to each other. So as part of the family of God, that's what we're doing. Lord, I offer myself to you. I sacrifice everything that I have. It's not mine anymore. It's yours. I'm part of your family. I like to think of the church kind of as, and when I say the church, I'm not talking about the place that we're in, right? I kind of think of the people. It's kind of like movie trailers. When I go to a movie, my wife hates that I never like to be late. Because, man, I love the movie trailers. I don't know why. They just inspire me. They stir in me. And I'm like, you know, I'm watching a movie and I see the movie trailer. If I miss the movie trailer, sometimes I feel like, why did we even come today? Because And she say, she knows this is true. This is not preacher story stuff. This is true. I love the trailers. And I think that the church is a lot like a trailer, because when you watch a trailer, you're kind of getting the anticipation of what's to come. You're getting a preview of the good stuff to come. The church is a preview of what is to come, of what it looks like for His will to come, His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And just like the previews, we kind of mess it up sometimes. We do. You know, sometimes you see a preview and it looks like the best comedy you've ever seen. Then you go to the movie and then you realize all of the funny jokes were in the preview. I hate that. I hate that. And sometimes we as the church don't do a great job and people look at us and they go, well, that's not a great preview. And sometimes we're not. But I know we were designed by God to be the anticipation of what His kingdom will look like. Yeah, we're not going to reach it on this earth. But I think as we keep going in that direction and going in that direction, that God uses that to draw other people to Himself, because there's nothing more beautiful than a family saying, we are one together and we don't exist for us. We exist for a much bigger and higher purpose, a higher calling, and that's God's calling. And with all of my heart, I believe that if we invest in eternal things, Jesus promises that the return on investment, that the ROI will be overwhelming. Lives are going to be changed. Your lives will be changed. Your children's lives will be changed. Your neighbors' lives will be changed. And what's even crazier is that there are people you don't even know, their lives will be changed because of the eternal investment that we make by saying, God, we are part of Your family. If you choose this life, your faith will grow in ways you've never experienced. I know that's true. I want you to look at what the Apostle Paul said. The Apostle Paul said, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows generously will also reap, what does it say? Generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Why? Because God loves a cheerful giver. See, church, this is important. Paul says, whoever sows, whoever invests, you don't have to be rich. You don't have to have the spiritual gift of giving. Paul is saying that whoever considers themselves a part of the church family exists to fulfill the mission of Jesus together. Then each of us, not out of guilt, not out of coercion, each of us should pray and say, God, what would You have my family contribute? Not just money, but time, Your skills, Your life, because we are family. We are not a bunch of guests who come together. We are a family, and together, God wants to do something powerful in us. So when we sow small, we reap small. But when we sow generously, we reap generously. I mean, God invites us to participate with Him with everything, with our time and our talent and our pocketbook. He says, invest it all in my kingdom and watch what I do. But it's our choice. We can always say yes or no. And you know me, if you've been around these parts for long, I'm not a guilt guy. I'm not a coercion guy. In fact, I'm the worst recruiter sometimes ever. I remember I was a small group leader much of my career, a small group pastor. And my incredible technique of recruiting small group leader was, hey, I see something in you that is, I think, would be an amazing small group leader. I want to ask you, would you pray about that? Listen, if you don't want to do it, don't. But if you do, if you feel God tugging on your heart, I want to challenge you to do it. But don't do it for me. Don't do it for the church. Seriously, if you could think of 100 reasons why not to do it, don't do it. I mean, I'm really bad. So I'm not like the coercion guy. That's not my thing. But what I know is this, that if we choose to participate together, if we choose to pay the cost of being a part of a family, because we all know it, man, we have kids, those of us with kids, we know this is true. Being family has a cost. Being family has a cost. It does. But when we say yes, and we say that is not a cost, it's an investment in eternity, the rewards together are more amazing than we could imagine. They are bigger than any of us. So we pray. As we pray, even when it comes to finances, Lord, it's all yours, but I have to take care of my family. We have to survive. How much should I give you, Lord? How much? I think Paul would advise this. Ask yourself, how much do you want to reap? How much do we want to reap together? Because if we want to reap generously, Paul says in this passage that we need to give generously. See, for Ray Lynn and me, generous giving basically is defined as giving to the extent that it requires a change in our lifestyle. I believe in this family, this church family. And I believe that God wants to do something great through us. I really do. I don't just say that. I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe that. And Ray Lynn and I believe that in healthy families, people sacrifice for each other. And so when Renee joined our family, it definitely changed the way we lived. We didn't realize how much kids cost at that time. We didn't have any. And, and the 50 or 100 bucks a month that we thought it was going to cost us was gravely off. And it definitely changed the way we lived. But we didn't invite her to join our family reluctantly. We weren't coerced. We loved her. We invited her in cheerfully. Why? Because she was worth it. And now we've had the immense privilege of journeying with her in her life. And now she's had a daughter and pregnant with the second granddaughter of ours. And we've had an opportunity to be a part of their lives. Who knows the impact that we have had in Renee and our grandchildren because we said yes. See, that's what family's about. Paul doesn't tell us how much to give. He says pray and decide. Church family, that's my challenge for us. See, in September, we're going into a time where I really get to share with you vision and some of the things that I believe God is drawing us towards. I have never been this excited about what God is doing because I've never been a part of a people who are more set up for God to use in a glorious way. Avalon Church, we are blessed. God has given us so much. But Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is required. If we want to see God do something amazing, I think we have to say yes. I think that we have to pray and say, God, what does it mean to be generous together? Because, Lord, we don't want to sow small and reap small. We want to sow generously. And reach generously. And I want to ask you to consider this question. How much could your family give to what God is doing? How much could you give before it changes your lifestyle? I mean, be honest, because most of us, if we oh, I can give $10. And then you go, but if you didn't eat out, would it really change your life? No. How much can we give as like Ray Lynn and me before it changes our lifestyle? Because this is what we decided. It's going to have to give more than that because we decided it has to change our lifestyle. The American way, I know people are like, I don't think I like this message. I know. The American way, the reason I know is because of what I'm about to say. Because you and I, we're all very similar in so many ways. The American way is to pursue things, right? We pursue things that will always end up one day in a junkyard. How many old iPhones do I have in my house? It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. We always pursue things that end up in a junkyard, and God's view is so different. Because God, his invitation is to pursue him, the eternal one, and to pursue people who are also eternal. Stuff gets old. It does. We all know it. I mean, my phone was the coolest thing in the world for about 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden, somebody else came out with a new one. And I'm like, I want that one. I know. Stuff gets old. But knowing the creator of life and being a part of other people discovering life, that never gets old. That's why we do what we do. That's why this church exists. That's why we spend so much time and effort and money on ministries and even keeping up this building, because it's not about us. It's not for us. What we are doing is so much bigger than that, because we are lifting the name of Jesus, growing people's faith in Jesus, and impacting people, even people outside of this family right here, impacting people outside of these walls. We get to do that. Avalon Church, we are more than a service on Sunday. We get to love and serve people. You know, I was trying to think of some things that we did, you know, that in the past month or two. And one of the things that kept coming to my mind was, you know, VBS. Because VBS, we had that a couple months ago. And one of the things about VBS that is so amazing is how much time, effort, resources, money, how much it costs to do a VBS. Why would we invest dozens of volunteers, literally hundreds, maybe thousands of volunteer hours, thousands and thousands of dollars on a week of slip and slides, shouting, singing, and Bible study? Why would we do that? Because we love people. That's why. See, in that 1 week of VBS, we got to influence some 150 kids and their parents from all over the Avalon Park community. What better way to invite people to experience life in Jesus than to actually live it with them? And we did that week. God has provided us all that we need. Everything. We have more than what we need. We have buildings. We have people. Look at this beautiful group of people this morning. We have influence. We just need to be faithful with what God has given us. We need to be faithful with what God has given us. And God promises that if we choose to be faithful with a little, if we choose to trust Him with what we have, we will see Him work in extraordinary ways. We've already seen glimpses. Do you realize that our kids' ministry, I mean, we just started school. Typically in the church world, we have just entered the time where churches grow. Last week, we had 23 kindergarten and first graders in one room. Yeah, I know. Whoever, 23 kindergartners and first graders in one room. And we're like, we're just getting started. We're like, hey, Lisa, now is when we start growing. Ah! It's true. What a great problem, people. What a great problem to have. I mean, so now we're having to rearrange things and put together some plans, and I think we're going to be able to figure it out. But seriously, we are just scratching the surface. Do you remember? I showed this picture a couple of months ago. This picture was taken in May of 2018. We were blown away because the fifth grades at Avalon Elementary had asked to have their graduation in here. And I'm thinking, how many kids could there be, right? And so as they started coming and we started realizing that we have 450 seats in here, Jim? We have 450-ish seats in here right now. 700-plus people were packed in this room. I took a picture, a panoramic shot, and I don't know if you could. There are people standing on the sides of the wall. There are people on the stage. We had chairs. I mean, every chair in the entire church was in this room. It was so hot. It was stinky. And it was beautiful. It really was. You know, 700 people are in this room, standing room only, and this is one grade at one school next door. How many schools do we have in our community? I tried to look it up. I have no idea. I do know this. We have more schools than just Avalon Park around here than I can even fathom, but we have one of the highest concentrations of schools per square mile in the entire country. And I'm not making that up. That's some of the demographic work that we did at the beginning of the summer. There are so many young families in here. And this is just one grade of one school in our community. God wants to use us to join Him and show these beautiful people His love, right? That's what we get to do. But it's going to require us to say yes. It's going to require us to sacrifice our time, our skills, and our finances together. If we want to be a part of what God wants to do, we have to be faithful. We have to be generous. That's why my family's here. See, I have no doubt that God called my family to Avalon. We are in. We're in. We've committed to give sacrificially of our time and our money to what God is doing in this community, but not just in this community, this Avalon Church family, through this Avalon Church family. See, God doesn't want to just do some great things in here, right? He wants to do some great things through us out there. We're in. I know our elders give sacrificially. I know that there's a handful of people in this room right now who give generously and sacrificially, but it is a minority. And I'm just, you know, just sharing reality. It is a minority. If we're going to join God and be a part of the great things he wants to do, we have to say yes together. I promise you this, I would never ask of you something I'm not willing to do. But it's going to take the participation of all of us. Everybody who calls Avalon Church their home, their church family, we've got to be in this together, right? Because that's what family does. It's funny, it was a rhetorical right, but I was expecting at least one person to say right, and nobody did. but look, okay, look at this. When we do get all in, when we do become more and more generous, look at what Paul says happens, the next verse. He says, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in what? Acquiring more? No, you will abound in every good work. You'll have all that you need and abound in every good work because you have been invited to join God in changing people's lives. Your life, my life, and the lives of those out there. You know, I say it a lot. God can hit a home run with a broken bat every time. Avalon Church, congratulations. You and I are a broken bat. And God can hit that home run every single time. And I believe he will. If we say yes and join him. Church, God doesn't need your money. He doesn't need my money. You know what he desires? He desires our heart. That's what he's desiring. When we put his amazing kingdom above our teeny tiny kingdom, when we invest in eternity rather than in what's temporary, he works in ways that I promise you most of us have never seen. I know that's true. And once you see it, you never want to go back. Never. See, it has nothing to do with how much money you give. It has nothing to do with any kind of amounts. There's a couple in our church who are experiencing this truth right now. Jason and Danielle Sams, we asked them to share their story this week, and I'd like you to hear that story.
I'm Jason Sams, and this is my wife, Danielle, and we've been members at Avalon Church since 2001, the early days of the YMCA.
I wanna feel the strength David felt.
Jason and I have been married for almost 20 years, and we have both worked that entire time. What few people knew, except for my immediate supervisors at work and my close family, is that I have a debilitating neurological disorder. And my supervisors have been very gracious, very accommodating to me.
So because of her disorder, we've had to make some strict requirements in our home life and personal life so that it would accommodate her having energy to work over the last year that came to a head.
It just came to a point where I drove myself into the ground, and there was nothing else to give, and I could no longer work. Our income was cut in half. Our household income was cut in half. Mine just completely went away. We had built from our ramen noodle days of when we first got married, we had built to a comfortable life, and now all of a sudden had half the income we used to have.
Yeah, when we were engaged, we had a prerequisite class of Crown Ministries, and both of us attended that together and set the foundation before we are married on giving and the principles and God's calling on that in our life.
Yeah, that God owns, you know, just the idea that God owns everything. And, you know, we've trusted him with our salvation. He gives us breath every day. And so are we going to trust him with our money too? And this is a fleshing out giving to the church to support the church family. We'd always given, but it just became, we continue to give and we gave cheerfully, but it was pretty relatively easy. It's more uncomfortable now. It was easier before. So it's harder now, but it's still, that doesn't change the bottom line of it.
And giving has never been a question. We've always made a choice and we've adjusted our lifestyle so that we can continue to give what he's called us to give. I know for me that giving gives me a sense of security in our lives, and that if we weren't giving, and especially giving out of a grateful heart, I don't think I would have the security that I have right now. And looking into the unknown future that lies in front of us.
Yeah. Who knows what it'll do? All I need, give me faith. Oh, oh,
oh, give me faith. I love what Danielle says at the end. Who knows what he'll do? With that expectation, who knows? When Jason and Danielle shared their story and I was inspired when we were recording that. You know, they have offered God what they have, trusting his promise to that he will respond with what he has. Jason and Danielle, thank you so much for sharing your story. I really appreciate it. See, because that's what God does. He takes our small little stories and he transforms them into these epic masterpieces. But which story we choose, we get to choose. It's our choice. We can say no. We can just attend church. We can be a part of, what's going on and consume spiritual products. Or we can be a part of an amazing story. We can be a part of people's lives changing, not just for generations, but for eternity. See, it's our choice. Which one do we want to do? I'm telling you now, I'm choosing the epic masterpiece story. I'm choosing, Raylynn and I and our family, we are in, we are committed, and we want to invite you. Will you join us? Our elders are in. We have so many leaders, we're in. Our staff is in. Will you join us? Can we see what God would do through us? I can't wait to see what God does through us. So as I'm closing, I have two action steps that I want to encourage you to do. I would ask you to do this. Would you commit to pray about giving regularly and consistently to what God is doing here through this family? I would ask that you pray that. Sacrificially, generously, consistently. Those are the kind. Let's be in as a family. I like to say that, you know, in a family, everybody does dishes sometimes. Will you be a part of the family and be a contributor rather than just a consumer? And then the second thing we've been saying every single week in this series, before you leave today, will you get to know your family? Will you connect with one other person before you get in your car and go today? And I mean somebody that you didn't come with. I'm having to share that a lot because people like to cheat. But would you connect with somebody you did not come with and get to know them? Because to contribute and to be a part of the family, we need to know the family. You agree? Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that, you know, we can talk about giving, we can talk about our sacrifices, we can talk about all of that all day long. But the reality is we know your sacrifice by leaving heaven and coming to earth, your sacrifice by dying on that cross for us so that we can be right with you, that is the inspiration for us to give. That is the inspiration for us to be generous and to sacrifice. You have gone so far and above what we could ever imagine. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I pray that you will help us as a church, that you will inspire us, draw us, challenge us to be faithful and consistent and sacrificial in giving, not so that we can have nicer buildings and more comfort, but God, so that we can do more ministry, not just in these walls, but out in the world. Jesus, help us. Help us to join you. Help us to do more than we could ever imagine through the name of Jesus Christ.